We're going to continue our sermon series this morning, our I series. What am I to do? As a Christian, what am I supposed to be doing? And we've said this each week. This is not necessarily a series about what we believe, although that's important. What we know about the Bible and what we believe is important. We've done series like that before. That's not what the I series is necessarily about. And it's not about who we are or our identity, although when we know who we are in Christ, it makes all the difference in the world. Instead, this is a series of things that we need to be doing. As a Christian, what am I to do? Now, I'm going to throw you for a little bit of a curveball. I know you guys take such great notes, and so you've been writing down every word I've said for the last 3 weeks, and here you are, week 4 of 5, and you're ready for your sermon this morning entitled, I Stand. And if you remember correctly, what you remember is that we're kind of going through these 5 things that we do. The first one was discipleship. I disciple. As a believer in Jesus Christ, I'm going to be investing in someone else, sharing the gospel, and teaching them how to grow in their faith. Then we also talked about worship when we said, I worship. Not only do I sing corporately on Sunday mornings, but I worship through the way I live and the things that I do. And so we talked about this idea of daily worship, of each and every day us worshiping God. Last week we talked about I serve, how I put others before myself. And this morning, week 4, I stand, and you all are anticipating a message because I've said it each week, the last two, I stand, and next week, I love. I'm throwing a curveball to you because I know you took good notes and you knew that there were 2 more in the series, I stand and I love, and I'm going to give you a 2-for-1 special this morning. Now, that doesn't mean you don't get another one next week. As a matter of fact, part of the reason why I'm combining these two is because there is an extremely important I that we're going to talk about next week that I thought about including at the beginning, thought it was so important that maybe it transcended these 5 things, and then the Lord kind of put on my heart, no, you need a sermon dedicated to I pray. And so next week, we're going to be talking about prayer. The other reason why I'm combining I stand and I love is because I feel like we cannot separate these two ideas. We spend so much time focusing on standing up for the truth of God's word or being compassionate and loving. But typically we're one or the other. It seems as if we have to either be gruff and stand for what we believe in or we have to be compassionate and loving. This morning, we're going to read a fairly familiar passage. If you were here last week, it was a similar passage, just in a different gospel account in Matthew 22. And we're going to get a different perspective on things. Jesus actually includes this commandment in 3 of his 4 gospels. 3 of the 4 gospel writers include this commandment from a slightly different point of view. If you remember last week when Luke was telling a story, he was relaying a religious man who came up to Jesus, asked him a question. Jesus had the man answer back to him, and then he proceeded to tell him a parable. Well, here in Matthew, we don't see the parable at all. Instead, we still see a religious law person coming to Jesus, and he's asking him a somewhat different question, but gets the same answer. Look with me in Matthew 22, starting in verse 36. It says, Teacher, which command in the law is the greatest? If you were here last week, you remember this man came up to Jesus in Luke's account and says, What must I do to receive eternal life? To which Jesus says, What does the law say? And this man gives an answer. This is the same man, the same circumstance, but here we see instead kind of a retelling, a different way. This is Matthew's perspective. And the question this morning is, tell me what the greatest command is. Last week, the focus was on a neighbor. This week, the focus is on the command itself. So what is the greatest command in the law? Of the hundreds and thousands of laws, what is the greatest command? So Jesus said to him, Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important command. In verse 39, he says, The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets depend on these two commandments. commands. So whereas last week the focus was on love your neighbor, who is your neighbor, and what do we define as a neighbor? And we looked at the story of the Good Samaritan, how he helped out a man who was in need, and that was his neighbor. This morning we're going to focus less on the neighbor aspect and more on the command. Here we are in 2016, and Satan is a masterful deceiver. He has done a wonderful job at tricking both non-Christians and Christians alike. And we are so confused and so muddled in what we're supposed to stand for, even Christians are standing on opposite ends of the same issue. Even believers in Jesus Christ are fighting against each other on the right way to stand. Let me give you an example on how masterful Satan is and how crafty he is. It was less than a year ago that the big hot topic in our country was Planned Parenthood and abortion. That was the hot topic with videos that were released, and Christians everywhere, rightly so, stood up and said, abortion goes against God's word. It is the killing of a human being, and we are standing against that. And there was significant backlash against Planned Parenthood and their propaganda and their videos that were released and all that was going on behind the scenes. And we saw this big to-do. And for maybe the first time in many years, this pro-life movement had some footing. It was making some grounds. You know, all through high school when I was growing up, there was the issue of abortion, but honestly, I feel like we lost ground. We were going backwards, and the agenda of a woman's right to terminate her pregnancy for whatever reason was being pushed forward until these videos came out. And I was as appalled as anyone at seeing the videos of Planned Parenthood's selling of babies. But I was overjoyed that the issue of abortion was coming to light and that Christians now had a platform to take a stand. Let's fast forward less than a year later. When's the last time you've heard anything about Planned Parenthood or about abortion videos? I can't remember. It's been months. Maybe in some political debate it's gone back and forth, but Christians have kind of stepped back. Why? Because Satan is a master deceiver and he's given them a new platform to step up to. Now the hot topic is bathrooms, right? Are you allowed to go in the bathroom of your choice? And regardless of where you stand as a Christian, can you go in this one? Can you not go in this one? We know that the Word of God teaches that we are all created in His image. He has created us, male and female. And whether you think you should be able to use whichever bathroom is for you to argue and for you to decide. I just know that God created men and women because the Bible teaches He's created men and women. We have a new platform to stand up on. And now we're taking a firm stand. Can I tell you, I don't believe that it was an accident that Satan has allowed this issue of transgender bathroom use to now push this abortion issue aside. All of a sudden, we're not talking about it anymore. And we're losing ground not only on the standing up for life, we're losing ground on standing up for how God created us as men and women. And we're going backwards. Satan's a master at diverting our attention. And so what do? The backlash of Christians. And rightly so, we decide we're going to take a stand regardless of what it is. And as we get pushed further and further back, we feel the need to push further and further forward until instead of just taking a stand, we're on the offensive and we're swinging and we're punching and we're throwing haymakers and we're trying to get our point across. We're yelling and we're screaming, we're on Facebook and we're debating and we're arguing, and I'm as guilty as anybody on this. Because when we start getting pushback, when we realize that Satan is fighting against us, we decide not just to take a stand, but to start attacking. I feel like our attacks, though, are misguided. I feel like we're attacking not what God wants us to attack, but what we feel like we can attack to push our own agenda. You see, we learn in Scripture that our battle is not flesh and blood. It's not people, but it's against Satan, who is the deceiver. It's against the principalities. I hope not anyone in here feels like your enemy is a woman who's had an abortion. She is not your enemy. I hope that nobody in here feels like your enemy is a transgender individual or someone who's a gay, lesbian, part of the LGBTQT, whatever initials they are. I hope that they're not your enemy. I hope that you're not fighting against them. I hope that they're not the reason why you're yelling and screaming. Because we, as Christians, tend to take a stand against flesh and blood. This morning, I cannot separate the sermon I stand from I love. We cannot remove those two from each other as if we do two separate acts. Instead, we see Jesus saying the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God. Love the truth of God's word with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor. Love the people around you as yourself. So this morning, as we look at this sermon, I Stand, it has I love right behind it, right beside it. If you have your bullets, and I hope you'll take notes, there's just two brief things I want to discuss this morning that I want to clarify when we talk about taking a stand this morning. The first is this: love for God does not exclude love for man. Love for God does not exclude love for man. Now, this seems like a no-brainer. Obviously, we understand this. It's not been that long ago that we had to sit down and talk to Ashton. She was really upset and worried every time we complimented her older sister. Callie, you did a beautiful job with that. And Ashton would go, "Hey, what about me?" Yes, you do beautiful too. Callie, we just think that that you're so pretty in that dress. And Ashton, "What about my dress?" "Yes, you're beautiful too." And finally, it got to the point where I had to sit down and I had to say, "Ashton, you know, I love your sister and I love you." She goes, "But I want you just to love me, you know?" And "No, we can love two people." And she couldn't figure it out. I said, "Let's think about this for a second. Do you love ice cream?" "Yes, I love ice cream." "I love ice cream, absolutely." "Great, Ashton, that's wonderful. Let me ask you this. Do you love candy?" "Well, yes, I love candy." I said, no, you can't love candy because you already love ice cream, you know?" She says, no, I love ice cream too." And later on, I think we probably had ice cream with candy on top, I'm guessing. But I had to explain to her, you can love more than one thing at once. We understand this as adults, don't we? We know you can have a love for God and a love for people. We get that a love for God does not exclude our love for man. But we don't act as if it is exclusive. We act as if we have to choose one or the other. We carry ourselves as if standing up for the Word of God means having to hate everything against the Word of God. Now, let me be very bold and very clear. When we talk about I Stand this morning, it's important that the world know where you stand as a Christian on controversial issues. That doesn't mean you have to walk into a room and say, "Hey, everybody, I want you to know I'm pro-life." Doesn't mean you have to bust into a room and say, "Is there anybody in here who is different than I am? I hate you and the Bible hates you." That's not what the Word of God would have us to do. Sure, I have plenty of friends who disagree with me. Plenty of friends who disagree with me on morality. I have, gay and lesbian friends that I count as friends, that know where I stand, know what the Bible teaches. It's okay to stand up for the Word of God and not be hateful. It's okay to stand up for the Word of God and not lose that sense of love. That's why Ephesians 4:15 tells us to speak the truth in love. And in that way, we'll grow in every way into Him who is the head, Christ. I'm afraid that we've separated these two things. There's two types of Christians in America today, it seems to me. There's the one type of Christian that is all for taking a stand, speaking the truth. And I'm thankful for these men and women of God who will stand up and will not back down to anything contrary to the Word of God. And they get really hot and bothered when things aren't exactly the way God's Word says. They have the spiritual gift of prophecy, not seeing the future, but knowing right from wrong and standing for what is right. I'm thankful for those men and those women who have that wiring. We also have another set of Christians over on the other side. And this set of Christians is all about loving humanity. And so they're not wanting to offend, not wanting to hurt, and they want to stand up for God's word, but if it comes to hurting someone's feelings, they'll back down, they'll cower away, because Jesus said, "Love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus said, "Judge not, lest ye be judged," the most quoted Bible verse for non-believers or for people who are wanting to stand back from the truth of God's word. We see that there's the extreme stand and there's the extreme love. There's Westboro Baptist Church, this is our way or the highway. There's the Episcopal Church of America, everybody's okay and everything's going to be just fine. We see these two extremes, and they start eking their way into culture at large, to where Christians start to be labeled. Are you the extreme Westboro Baptist, or are you the extreme Episcopal Church? You and I don't have to have a love for God separated from a love for humanity. We are called to stand up for the truth of God's word and do so in a way that communicates love for others. But secondly, this morning, and this is extremely important because this second point, I think, is where we miss so much when it comes to stand in truth and love our brothers. And that is this: a love for man does not supersede our love for God. You and I know the command we just read: love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important command, and the second is like it. The second is right up there: love your neighbor as yourself. We hear these commands and we try to find the balance of loving God and loving people, standing up for what we believe in and not backing down, but caring for others. And honestly, it gets under our skin because we get on the Facebook Insider, we get on some of our liberal friends' pages that are atheist or against the Word of God. We get on some of these people who don't believe the Bible is what the Bible says it is, and we start getting hateful. We start yelling and we start screaming. We type in all capital letters, right? Because we're really, really mad. We start letting them know. Maybe it's someone who we come in contact with, and it starts off as a conversation, but the next thing you know, we're preaching to them. We didn't know we had a bunch of preachers in here until you start getting hot and bothered and upset. And so we see that we try to balance it out. How can I communicate God's love without hurting someone's feelings, without offending them? And so we go the other extreme, and I'm afraid this is where most of us have gone. We've clung to the second part of that commandment: love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. I'm going to care for others more than I care for anything else in the world. It's a noble thought. Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. But when we start loving people more than we love God, our values are inverted and we stop standing on the Word of God altogether. I'm afraid this is where our culture has fallen. We have decided that loving people is more important than standing up and loving our great God. There's an order that Jesus gives these commandments in Matthew 22. As a matter of fact, when the question is asked, which command is the greatest, he starts off and he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And then he takes a break before he gives a second, and he says, this is the greatest and most important command. Now, he didn't say these are, this and what I'm about to tell you. He says, no, this one command, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important command. There's a second one we'll discuss, but this command is above all most important. Love the Lord your God. Stand for the truth of His word. Don't be afraid to be mocked or even be afraid to be ridiculed. Don't be afraid to be hurt. Don't be afraid to stand firm in the midst of people who are attacking the Word of God. The second is important, and we're not going to ignore it. But the first command we have is to stand firm on the Word of God. Love for man does not ever supersede our love for God. It's so vitally important we get this order correct, that we love God first, and out of that, we love others. So what does that look like? There's two different ways you can interpret this, because I know how our culture works. Some of you are going to walk away and say, the preacher preached a sermon this morning that says, don't back down to anybody, and we're going to go take the biggest, firmest stand there ever was. And the other half of you are going to say, the preacher preached a sermon on loving others and caring for others, and we're going to just love the heck out of everybody to where nobody's ever upset with us because Jesus loves everybody and there's unicorns and rainbows. And you're going to walk out of here interpreting this message, interpreting Jesus' words in one of these two ways. And let me tell you, that is the opposite of what Jesus is trying to communicate. What does it look like to speak the truth in love? A couple of questions we ask ourselves when talking with other people. The first thing we ask ourselves, first and foremost, is what does God's Word say? What does God's Word say? If we're thinking through some of these issues, whether they be one of the big hot topic issues, whether they be something very small and minor, we ask ourselves, what does the Bible say about this issue? What does the Bible say about humanity? What does the Bible say about life? What does the Bible say about men and women and creation? What does the Bible say to us? We start there always. We always begin with asking ourselves, the Word of God in its authority, what does it say? The second question we ask is, does my response attack a person or does it stand on the Word of God? Does my response attack a person or does it stand on the Word of God? And I purposefully include it that way, one or the other. Because if you start attacking people, flesh and blood, you are yourself going against the Word of God. Our enemy is not flesh and blood. Our enemy is not even lost people. You realize that Jesus Christ came for those lost people. Jesus Christ died for those lost people. So am I attacking a person right now, or am I attacking a belief? Am I standing firm on what the Word of God says, or am I standing firm against someone as an individual? We have to ask ourselves, am I being hateful? And is this have grounds in the Word of God? And then thirdly, I think it's very important that we ask ourselves a question. Is what I'm about to say going to do any good? A lot of times we debate because we think we're right and we want to hear that we think we're right. We start talking to people and spewing all of these hate-filled things at them because we know we're right and we know they're wrong. And honestly, we know they're not going to change their mind, but it doesn't matter because we're going to stand up for the Word of God. Now, let me ask you, what good does that do to a lost person? When you know the debate is going nowhere, when you know the argument is going nowhere, and you still spit and scream, every once in a while, we have to step back and go, this is not loving. I may be right, but this is not helping anyone to see the cross of Christ. The fourth thing that you have to ask, and the final thing, and maybe the first thing, but certainly the thing that kind of bookends the first question, is in what way is this leading someone to the gospel? In what way is this showing them the truth of the Word of God? How is this helping them to see their need for salvation? How is this helping them see their need for a new life in Christ? As you start asking yourselves, how am I supposed to stand? I think we need to immediately ask, how are we supposed to love when we stand? Do not back down. Do not start softening the Word of God. Do not start compromising what it says. But in everything we do, we love others. We speak the truth in a way that says God cares and He loves you. The gospel message is a message that delivers a harsh truth with a loving conclusion. And that's how we ought to carry our lives. The gospel message says, I am a sinful, despicable, wretched human being. The gospel message says that all people, left to their own devices, fall short. The gospel message says everything you've been trying to do, every way you've been trying to live, every time you try to do a good thing and you feel like a failure, it's because in the state that you are, you cannot succeed in doing good. It's bad news, it's truthful news, and it's news that hurts, but it's loving news because Jesus Christ doesn't leave you in that state. The gospel message says you may not be able to do it, but somebody did it for you. The gospel message is the picture of truth in love. It's a picture of the love of God spread out to our neighbors. This morning, maybe you're sitting back and you're thinking, I've always looked at the gospel as being either one that is just hateful or one that is just too mushy. This morning, maybe you're sitting here starting to realize how God has integrated love for people in with His goodness and His truth. This morning, you're realizing that when you try to do things on your own, you always fail. But God has offered salvation through Jesus Christ, shown love because of His truth. This morning, as we come to our time of invitation, I want us to ask several questions. The first is, do I have a relationship with this Jesus Christ? who gives me honest and sometimes harsh truth out of love? And secondly, am I carrying myself in such a way that stands up to the Word of God without attacking and bashing human beings, individuals created in God's image? Will you pray with me this morning? Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the truth of your word. And Lord, there's nobody in here who wants to stand up for your word more than I do. Lord, let that be the prayer of all of us this morning. Lord, we want to be a light in the darkness. We want to be very boldly proclaiming what your word says, even on very difficult issues. We don't want there to be any question on the truth that we're created in your image from the moment of conception, created who we are supposed to be by a creator. Lord, we don't want there to be any confusion in that. Lord, we also want to do so in a way that leads people to Christ and doesn't push them away. Lord, help us ask some of these questions. How is this standing on your word? How is this attacking other people? How is this leading people to the gospel? Lord, help us to think through our conversations so that we never back down, but we always do so in a loving way. Lord, this morning I pray that your gospel message, this truth and love, would resonate on the hearts of all of us, realizing the harsh truth that we fail apart from you, we sin apart from you, but there's grace and there's love and there's goodness because of the salvation you give through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, this morning I pray that each one of us in here would know beyond the shadow of a doubt of your grace and your love. And Lord, that we would take a stand on your word because of the love you've given us. It's in your name we pray. Amen.